Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mind Matters, the show in which I discuss all matters of the mind and in which I show how much mind matters. Welcome to part 9 of Control Your Brain, Control Your Life. I am Udo Staatsbuchler and I'm live on air, and I welcome your calls with questions and comments as long as they relate to the subject I'm talking about. All other questions, comments and suggestions I will answer by email. Just go to my website http://www.mindmattersonline.info. Mind Matters Online is one word. There you find my email address, and please write to me. I will reply within 48 hours. On page 4 of my website, you will find recordings of all my previous radio programs for you to listen to at your leisure. I repeat my request from the last 2 weeks and ask you again to go to the blogtalkradio.com website and click on the button at the top of the page that says Connect Using Facebook and follow the prompts. Your Facebook friends can then share the show with us. Last week, I spoke about language, the power of conversations, feelings, and emotions. And I said that today I was going to talk about the mind. And that's exactly what I'm going to do. What exactly is the mind? What exactly is the subconscious? And what exactly is the unconscious mind? What do they do? How do they work? Are we in control of our mind? And if we don't control it, who does? These are all good and legitimate questions, and not new ones either. But disappointingly, there is not a single universally accepted definition of mind. Aristotle, Buddha, Zarathustra, Plato, and many other theorists from the ancient Greek culture to the Islamic and Indian culture proffered their views. In modern times, one of the most eminent psychologists, the great Sigmund Freud, opined extensively on the subject. Now, first, let us have a look at the definition of mind. What is this thing called mind? As I said, there are many opinions and many theorists, and needless to say, some of them differ greatly from others. Explanations were sought in religion, the supernatural, and also in science. Whatever model was presented or will be presented in future was and will be debated, supported, but also contradicted. For example, some theorists favored dualism, which means that body and mind are two separate entities. Others again favored monism, meaning that body and mind are not physiologically distinct. But whatever views there are, there is very little scientific proof of their validity and probably never will be. Are mind and brain the same? No, they are not. The brain is the organ of soft nervous tissue which fills the cranium of humans and other vertebrates. The mind, on the other hand, is the element of a person that enables them to be aware of the world and their experiences in it. It is a faculty of consciousness, thought, and much more, which I explain as I go along. Therefore, based on our modern understanding of the human brain, we now can say that mind is a product of the brain and consists of the conscious and unconscious aspect, plus, according to Sigmund Freud, the preconscious or subconscious aspect. Mind is a product of the brain, but not restricted to the brain alone. It is in every single cell of our physiology. Mind and the physical body are completely intertwined, dependent on one another, and one cannot do without the other. This has become the view that most modern psychologists accept. It is this view that really was essential for the development of psychoneuroimmunology, or PNI, the successor of behavioral medicine. Without accepting that mind and body are completely dependent on each other, PNI or any form of energy therapy could not exist. However, arguments are still continuing. As I said earlier, Sigmund Freud added to the debate a third element, the preconscious mind. 1932, he lectured, and I quote, "Distinguish two kinds of unconscious, one which is easily, under frequently occurring circumstances, transformed into something conscious, and another one with which this transformation is difficult and takes place only subject to considerable expenditure of effort or possibly never at all. We call the unconscious, which is only latent and thus becomes easily conscious, the preconscious, and retain the term unconscious for the other." Unquote. Sigmund Freud makes perfect sense to me, because his argument makes a lot of sense, and it is perfectly plausible. Also, according to him, our conscious mind is only like the tip of an iceberg and contains just 10% of our entire mind. The subconscious mind occupies about 50 to 60% of the iceberg, and the unconscious mind the remaining 30 to 40%. The conscious mind is what is associated with who you are. The conscious mind collects data and knowledge via your senses. It is the learning part of the mind and the source of logic and reason. It is your conscious awareness. It communicates to the outside world and to your inner self through verbal communication, pictures, writing, physical movements, and thought. Your subconscious mind is in charge of your recent memories and is in constant contact with the resources of the unconscious mind. The unconscious mind governs all the actions you are not aware of, such as your breathing, your heartbeat, memory, as well as your feelings and beliefs. It is also the storage of all your memories and past experiences. With all of them, I mean also those that have been repressed through some form of trauma, as well as those that have been consciously forgotten and are no longer important to you. You see, memories do not just vanish, disappear somehow, somewhere. They are stored forever in your unconscious mind. It is from these memories that your beliefs, habits and behaviors are formed. The unconscious mind is always in communication with the conscious mind through the subconscious mind. It provides you with the meaning how you interact with the world, how you use the filters of your beliefs, of your biases and habits to interpret events and experiences. It, the unconscious mind, communicates through your feelings, the consequent emotions, imagination and sensations. Freud proposes that dreams are also part of this communication. This is one point I am not in complete agreement with. Let me clarify the concept how the three minds work. Imagine that the mind is a computer. The conscious mind represents monitor and keyboard. You input data on the keyboard and the results appear on the monitor. That's exactly how your conscious works too. Information is taken from some outside or internal stimulus and the results appear instantaneously in your consciousness. The subconscious is like the random access memory, RAM, RAM. This is a place where in a computer, programs and data are stored that are currently in use. RAM is easily and quickly accessed by the computer's processor. Your subconscious does exactly the same. All recent memories are stored for a quick recall whenever you need it, such as names of person, telephone numbers, or such like. Your subconscious stores also all your current programs that run you on a daily basis, such as current recurring thoughts, your behavior, thought patterns, habits, and feelings. Your unconscious mind is like the hard drive in your computer. It is the long-term storage for all your memories and programs that you have since your birth. Your unconscious mind uses these programs to make sense of all the data that you receive from the world around you, to keep you safe and to ensure your survival. The logic behind this is that if it worked in the past and helped you to survive, it will help you to get through similar situations by the same means. Whether these means were positive or negative does not matter at all. You survived. And it doesn't matter one iota how painful, unhelpful, and misguided the results are to you. As I said earlier, these definitions have been and still are debated because it's still impossible to prove that they exist. However, I am persuaded because, as I said, they make perfect sense to me, they are plausible, and most importantly, they work for me and for what I do. And this is good enough proof for me. Now let us take a closer look at each one, what functions they perform and how they can be used to create change in ourselves. If you ask most people to define what the conscious mind does, you will get varying answers. Some say what distinguishes it from the subconscious or even the unconscious is awareness. Remember when I said in my introduction to this theme that the conscious mind is your conscious awareness. Many people say that the difference between conscious and subconscious or unconscious is awareness and not just conscious awareness. This implies that only in our conscious are we aware. This is definitely wrong. You can be influenced by your surroundings or what people say to you, even when your conscious mind is totally out of it. For example, when you are under anesthetic, when you are asleep or in deep trance. I used to live in a country in Africa where it was quite normal for me to drive more than 300 miles to the nearest big town and drive back the same day. I used to do this a few times every month, and I knew the roads like the back of my hand. Or even better. Oftentimes it happened to me that on my way back, I completely lost my sense of awareness and just drove on without being aware of it. Whenever awareness returned, I had to first establish where exactly I was. Am I still going in the right direction? Did I miss a turning? I was always going in the right direction, and I never had missed a turning. It was my subconscious that remained aware, guided me in the right direction, and made me perform the right actions, like staying on the correct side of the road, slowing down before going into a corner, and speeding up thereafter. I'm quite certain that some of you have had similar experiences. Another argument is that it's only the conscious mind where thoughts, reason, and logic happen. But this is not correct either. Not only is the unconscious the storage of all your memories, feelings, and habits, it is also quite good at reasoning and logic. Think about it. A baby's conscious mind is not developed sufficiently to test all information that it receives from the environment. It is the subconscious and the unconscious that gathers data and uses reason. For example, that the parents cuddle means affection and safety, that the bottle or the nipple are the source of food, that the baby only needs to cry to get mother's attention. Therefore, at this stage, it is the subconscious together with the unconscious that form logical patterns of habits, beliefs, and feelings that help the baby to survive. The great difference between the conscious and the sub and unconscious is that the conscious mind can direct your focus. The other two cannot. And it is capable to imagine what is not real. The other two cannot do this either. It is these gigantic abilities, I'm very tempted to call them powers, which you need to control your brain in order to control your life. Before I explain, let me tell new or latecomers that I'm live on the air and welcome your calls with comments and questions on the subject I'm talking about. All other questions, comments, and suggestions I will answer by email. Just go to my website http://www.mindmattersonline.info. Mind Matters Online is one word. There you find my email address. On page 4, you will find recordings of all my previous radio programs to listen to at your leisure. Contact me and I will answer within 48 hours. The same applies if you cannot get through to this show by telephone. Just email me. Communicating with you directly is very important to me. I'm really interested in what you think about this show, what questions and comments you have, but also what problems you have. Now, let me explain the two gigantic powers of the conscious mind. One, I said, was directing focus. I suggest that your subconscious mind has a much stronger sense of awareness than your conscious mind. Think of the example that I gave you when driving with only my subconscious guiding me. Your subconscious is always wide awake, even when you're sleeping, but it takes orders from and obeys your conscious mind. Let me remind you what I said in a previous program. If you focus your conscious thoughts consistently on negative things, your subconscious will provide you with the feelings, emotions, and memories associated with this kind of thinking. And because these feelings become your reality, you can be caught in a never-ending loop of negativity, fear, anxiety, always looking for the negative in every situation. For example, if you're walking late at night through town and let your thoughts and imagination wander to all the horrible things that might happen to you, then your subconscious will provide you with the feelings, emotions, and memories of past events that you have associated with these thoughts. Do not misunderstand your subconscious. This is its way to protect you and to prepare you for either fight or flight should an appropriate situation arise. But you can change your feelings quite swiftly by consciously telling yourself and directing your focus to more realistic, rational, or relaxing thoughts. This is something that you can use to get a positive outlook on life, to increase your self-confidence, to motivate yourself, to become self-disciplined. In short, everything that I have talked about so far that is necessary to control your brain in order to control your life. This power of your conscious mind is vitally important, because without it, change is impossible. If you want to create change in your life, you need to learn to control what you consciously focus on. All it comes down to is for you to make a choice and decide how you want to think and what kind of thoughts you allow into your mind. This can and will determine your destiny, for good or for bad, for constructive or destructive means. Your freedom of thought is probably the only real freedom you have. Nobody can tell you what to think. Others can only influence your thought processes, but it is entirely up to you to decide to follow these influences or to make up your own mind. You alone can choose what to think and how you are going to respond to the experiences and events in your life. The other incredibly, vitally important ability of the conscious mind is the use of visualization. People who know me, or have worked with me, or have read my book Happiness Discovered, know full well how important visualization is for me and my work. Your mind can literally imagine, visualize, something that is completely new and unique. It can be something that you never saw or experienced before. For example, if I told you about a tree that is 3 miles high, has multicolored leaves, and wears a skirt with polka dots on it, well, at this very moment, your conscious pictures this tree. It sees its height, its multicolored leaves, and even the skirt with polka dots on it. Your conscious paints this picture for you right now. In this very moment, as I'm speaking, you literally see this tree in all its glory. And if I told you that this tree is also wearing a top hat with peacock feathers in it, your mind is right now creating this picture for you, even though this tree doesn't exist, has never existed, and never will. But this picture is now ingrained in your subconscious, and whenever someone mentions a tree of this kind, it is this picture that will pop up. It gets even better. Your subconscious cannot differentiate between reality and what your conscious imagines. That's why it will not discard your picture of the tree as utter nonsense, which it is, but it will keep the picture in its memory. The good thing about this is, whatever your conscious visualizes and focuses on brings also the feelings and emotions that are associated with your visualization. Test it on yourself. Wait until I tell you to go for it. Let me first paint the picture for those of you who are single and would like to find your dream partner. I'm sure that you have imagined already what this partner should be like and look like. Imagine now that you have found this dream partner and he or she is exactly as you had visualized him or her, only a bit better still. Now, put a picture of him or her in front of your mind's eye. See him or her in all their glory. Now visualize how life is with your dream partner. Visualize being together, doing things together that you tremendously enjoy. Just go and indulge in this togetherness. Another picture I paint for those of you who wish they would win the lottery. Visualize that you have won it a few days ago. You've got the money in your account already. And now visualize, see what you're doing with it. Visualize the house that you're going to buy, the car of your dreams you are owning, whatever else you're doing with the money that gives you financial security and pleasure. I give you 1 minute to experience your pleasure, and I keep quiet now for a minute, and now go for your visualization. Well, I'm back again. Is it not amazing what it does for you? You only visualize pleasure when you experience the feeling of it. Visualizations are used to create amazing results. Today, every sports person trains with visualizations. I gave you the following example in a previous talk. The golfer who tees off and says to himself, I'm not going to hit that bunker. I'm not going to hit that bunker. I'm not going to hit that bunker. I have to tell you that the mind does not deal well with negations. So the word not does not come into it. Therefore, his mind is focused on hitting and bunker. In all likelihood, the ball will end up exactly there in the bunker. Had he said to himself, I'm hitting the ball onto the green, I'm hitting the ball onto the green, his mind would have focused on that, and in all likelihood, that's where the ball had landed. Let us talk about the role of the subconscious mind. I've already said that the subconscious deals with short-term memory, but it also plays a big role in our day-to-day life and how we function. It is there for you to quickly recall or access whenever you need things like memories, such as I said before, telephone numbers or driving your car without thinking how to do it, and so on. Or when you need current programs that you use daily, your behaviors, mood, and habits. Or when you need filters. These are the filters of your beliefs and values through which you run all information that you receive to test the validity according to your view of the world. Or when you need sensations that you take in with your senses of seeing, hearing, smelling, feeling, and tasting, and what kind of meaning you give them. If you experience something that has no filter or reference point in the random access memory of your subconscious, then this experience goes directly to the unconscious, the storage place of the mind. There, it seeks the program that is best associated with the incoming data to make sense of it. We are under constant bombardment of incoming data. In fact, we are assaulted with over 2 million bits of data every second of the day. Think about it. If your conscious would be required to deal with all this data, assimilate them, evaluate them, make sense of them, that would be impossible. But it is your subconscious that filters out all unnecessary information and delivers only what is needed at the time, which is just about 7 pieces of information. And this happens without you being aware of it. You can go about your daily business unhindered by useless information. How can the subconscious do it? Because it has constant access to the programs in your unconscious. Another great thing about the subconscious is that it obeys orders. As I said before, this is what you can take advantage of to change the way you think, to control or to run your brain, or your mind, and to change your life. I know that there's a school of thought that says that the subconscious is in charge, in control, and we have just to follow. This is wrong, dead wrong. It is exactly the other way around. The conscious mind gives the direction. The subconscious only delivers the feelings and emotions of what we continuously and consciously think about. Let me digress for a bit. It may sound as if it was all that easy to change. You change what you think of in one moment and your entire life will be changed forever. Unfortunately, this is not so. Your default programs have too much energy attached to them to change them at the drop of a hat. However, it can be done. It would be relatively easy if there was a great deal of pain attached to a particular behavior that you want to change. But without this pain, you need to work with your conscious mind over a period of time diligently, accurately, and constantly in order to make change happen. I have talked about this before also in a different context, and I will no doubt talk about it again. I am live on air, and I can still take your calls with questions and comments on the subject I'm talking about. All other questions, comments, and suggestions I will answer by email. Just go to my website, mindmattersonline.info. MindMattersOnline is one word. There you find my email address. On page 4, you will find recordings of all my previous radio programs to listen to at your leisure. Contact me and I will reply within 48 hours. The same applies if you cannot get through to this show by telephone. Just email me. Communicating with you directly is very important to me. I am really interested in what you think about this show, what questions and comments you have, but also what problems you have. Now, let us talk about the unconscious mind. The unconscious mind is very similar to the subconscious mind in that it also deals with memories. But there's a difference between the two. If you could picture the mind as a whole, and on top is the conscious, one layer deeper is the subconscious, and below it is the unconscious. I've mentioned before that the unconscious and the subconscious are linked with one another and also deal with similar things. But the unconscious is the big storage tank, the underground library of all your memories, habits, and behaviors, as well as all your deep-seated feelings that are part of your program since you were born. If you want significant change at a core level, then this is a place to work on. But it's not that easy to get there. Let me give you a summary of the subconscious and unconscious mind. As I said earlier, there has been a lot of debate and argument about both terms, and the debate and the arguments are continuing and will continue. I follow Sigmund Freud's school of thought, even though I'm open to suggestions as long as they make more sense than what Freud taught. Unconscious is a term that refers to the thoughts that are out of reach of our consciousness. As I said, it is also storage for all your memories which are repressed or which you do not wish to recall for serious and important reasons, but also because they are distant and unimportant. For example, the names of all your mates on your first school day. We cannot recall these memories whenever we choose to, no matter how hard we try. However, they can be triggered by some special event or recalled with hypnosis. The difference between the unconscious and the subconscious is that in the subconscious we can choose to remember because the memories are closer to the surface and therefore easier accessible. In order to take control over your brain, or let me put it better, control over your mind, you are working on the program that are held at core level in the unconscious mind. But the place to start doing it, to start working on, is the conscious mind, being continuously in charge of your thoughts by focusing them and visualizing and using some other tools that are talked about or will talk about. You can influence what programs your subconscious mind runs. Do it constantly, diligently, and accurately, it will begin to reprogram your unconscious internal representations and your belief system. This is very much a top-down approach, but it was also a top-down approach how your beliefs and your habits and your behaviors were created in the first place. This should also answer the question of who is responsible for your mind, whether it is the conscious, subconscious, or unconscious mind. A simple answer is, you are. It's all yours. At the same time, it answers also the question of who is responsible for your thoughts. It's again you who is responsible. Only you. It also answers the question of who is responsible for your feelings. Well, guess who? It is you and you alone. Remember what I had said, experiences and events are meaningless until you give meaning to them. And the meaning you give them creates your feelings about the experiences and the events. It is because your thoughts are yours to think, and your mind is yours to influence and make up, and your feelings that generate all your action and all your behaviors, they are your responsibilities too. Some people say, surely, there are outside influences, external conditions that make us feel sad, angry, frustrated, depressed, or happy, and there's nothing that we can do to affect these external conditions. After all, we cannot do away with congested highways, which delay and frustrate us. We cannot bring back to life the loved ones whose death saddens us. We cannot undo the mistakes that we made, which makes us feel angry or guilty or helpless. These things just happen. There's absolutely nothing we can do to unhappen them. No, we cannot. But let me repeat, all these events are meaningless until you give meaning to them. You declare them to be sad. You make yourself feel the anger or the guilt or the frustration. I agree that external conditions or events can and do influence our feelings to such a degree that we find it extremely difficult, if not impossible, to change them without help. Most people either suffer negative feelings, which can affect them long term and might eventually lead to mental disorder, or they use good counseling or psychotherapy to change these feelings. More enlightened people can learn how to turn negative feelings into positive ones, practice the mechanics of it, and eventually, quite naturally, react positively to life's challenges. After all, as I have mentioned many times before, it is not the event that causes feelings, but your interpretation of it. There is no escape from it. Your life, how you live it, your successes and your failures, your happiness, your unhappiness, everything is your responsibility. Do not blame others for your feelings. They happened on your watch. Some people may find this a heavy burden to bear. After all, it is so much easier to blame your background, your upbringing, your parents, your siblings, circumstances, karma, your past, and whatever else. It is so much easier to say, it did not happen for me because of all the others, and then retreat and wallow in misery, firmly believing that you had no choice and never will. Or would it not be a good excuse to say, the devil made me do it whenever you did something wrong? Others, however, do not see this as a burden. They see it as liberating and as an empowerment. After all, if you cannot blame others for your failings, all your successes are also yours. If you can leave the past where it belongs, in the past, then the present and with it your future is yours too. Isn't this fabulous? But before we start celebrating this, let me get back to the nitty-gritty again. Let me emphasize again that you can influence your mind, not only your conscious mind, but also your sub- and unconscious mind. You are responsible for lots of stuff that is in your mind, stuff that you put in there. But now you can influence the contents of your mind by using your own powers, the power of your thoughts, or indirectly using a third party with hypnosis. But we are not talking about that, at least not yet. I need to recapitulate what I said before. Your actions are determined by your feelings and not by your ability to use logic. You act on your feelings and justify the action with logic after the fact. Your feelings are subject to your mindset. Your mindset is the sum total of your values, beliefs, biases, and prejudices, as well as of your interpretations of previous experience and events. Some of it is in your subconscious mind. Much more of it is in your unconscious mind. In order to take control over your mind and your life, you need to change some, much, or all of it. how much depends entirely on your mindset. Since it is a top-down approach, meaning it begins in the conscious mind, this is easier than it sounds. Let me address once more feelings and thoughts. We have here bidirectional effect. Feelings are created by your thoughts, but your thoughts stimulate also your feelings. For example, if you interpret an event as being sad, based on your mindset, you will stimulate also sad thoughts, perhaps not only with regard to the event, but even in general. But since you are in control of your mind, you can consciously change your thoughts about the event, and with it, your feelings will change too. Also, this answers the questions, who controls the mind? And the answer is, of course, you do. Does this have a powerful effect? Yes, it gives you enormous powers. You are in control over your feelings and emotions. You know that your feelings govern the way you react to outside influences and also the way you act and behave. If you change these feelings, you react, act, and behave differently. Being an intelligent person, you will choose your feelings wisely. You do not suppress your original feelings, which would be very unwise indeed, but you change them into something very wise and very useful for you. With this, I've come to the end of this show. Thank you for listening. Let me know what you think about the show. Ask any question you like by sending me an email. Go to my website http://www.mindmattersonline.info. Mind Matters Online is one word. You find my email address there. On page 4, you will find also recordings of all my previous programs for you to listen to at your leisure. It is very important for me to communicate with you, to hear your comments and questions, as well as your problems. Send me an email, and I promise that I will reply as usual within 48 hours. For now, I leave you with words by Buddha, and I quote, "The mind is everything. What you think, you become." Unquote. Tune in again next week, same day, same time. Goodbye.